All right, happy Friday. Made it through another week in this year of 2026. Time for American Hit Radio, the How Music Changed edition of it on Fridays, of course. I'm Tom Ryan, your host for the next hour. My lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, behind the boards in a different studio room today, actually. I'm going to make it work. I'll see how Heidi can handle it. This is a challenge when we bounce around from room to room. We are getting near the end of our Hendrix series. This is part 25 in our series. We finished up 3 weeks where we covered the Band of Gypsies. And today's show, I'm entitling Trying to Move On, and for part 25. We're getting to the point where we're probably getting kind of near the end. I don't want to go too deep because we're getting near the end of where Jimmy, you know, obviously dies young. And I don't want to get into all the posthumous stuff, because too much of it has nothing to do with what Jimmy had intended and a lot more to do with what other people had intended to do with Jimmy. And I don't know. I think we've done a really good job of, like, more or less keeping in mind Jimmy's intentions up until this point, and I'd like to leave it at that. So when we get to the point where Jimmy's gone, I think that's where this is going to end. And so we'll take it there. So right now we're at the point where the Band of Gypsies they break up very quickly after that series of shows on December 31st, 1969, and January 1, 1970. They had done one show. I mean, that was it, really. They almost did one more show after that. But somebody had thrown Hendrix a Mickey or something. Somebody had put something into a drink or something and had gotten him really, really, really high before a show. And some sort of psychedelic thing. And he was unable to perform. And they waited something like 2 or 3 hours before he was able to go out onto the stage. And when he did, he couldn't play more than one or two songs. And Hendrix's management was blaming Buddy Miles for it, and which is absurd because Buddy Miles was in the band. But Hendrix's management didn't care for Buddy Miles. They didn't care for the Band of Gypsies, because they liked Hendrix in the original band. They were making great money with the experience. But Hendrix and Noel Redding just did not get along. Getting them back together again was not going to happen. They just didn't get along any longer at all. But they didn't seem to care about that. They thought that they were going to be able to force that to happen again. And by pushing it too hard, it just exploded. But they were made absolutely sure that Buddy Miles was going to get out of the picture anyway. So nevertheless, they did try to bring them back together. But anyway, Jimmy found himself in a situation that was certainly uncomfortable. He no longer had a band of his own. And worse, the management that had brought him to stardom was no longer part of his circle any longer. So he was still in a position of power, but he was also essentially completely alone when it came to making decisions. And this was crucial in terms of choosing an artistic sense of direction. After all, Hendrix had been, almost with casual ease, the most important guitarist of his generation. Now, somehow, pressure was forcing him into determining a direction that he never before had to even consider. It must have been hard, maybe even awful, to steer himself in a direction that would set him on a course to maintain his status. This show covers some of the behind-the-scenes attempts at maintaining his status while simultaneously searching for a new direction. So he's trying to move toward making another album, a double album. He was going to call it First Rays of the New Rising Sun. As I said, planned to be a double album. And this song that I'm going to play now was intended to be a part of that album, which would eventually become a posthumous release, unfortunately. In that form, this song was released in a drastically different format. This is Hendrix in the studio. Oddly, interestingly, in the studio, he was working with Buddy Miles until the rest of the band showed up, which is to say his previous drummer, Mitch Mitchell. So when Mitch Mitchell showed up, Buddy Miles had to leave. And then it was Billy Cox and Mitch Mitchell, coming in and taking over, and they started working on this track. So here's an early version of the song Freedom. So at this point, Jimmy's actually recording with a band that is half band of gypsies, half experience, which is kind of weird because both bands only consisted of three people, with Jimmy being one of them, of course, in each. So now we've got Mitch Mitchell from the Experience and Billy Cox from the band of gypsies working together, sort of a compromise to make the management happy and to make Jimmy happy. Since he didn't really want to be dealing with Noel Redding, and Noel Redding really didn't want any part of it anyway because he was doing his own thing around this time. So Jimmy's getting ready for a tour, mostly around the West Coast, and he was starting to work on a couple of tracks. Working on, like, coming up with classic rock and roll songs that he was going to start recording and performing. He was figured he'd use Johnny B. Goode as one of his show openers. So we have a live version of him performing Johnny B. Goode at the Berkeley Community Theater, of course, in Berkeley, California. And we also have a sound check version of him performing really just a jam of Blue Suede Shoes, something that he didn't perform live, but he was just doing it as a sound check. So two really old rock and roll tunes back to back.
Excuse us for tuning up every once in a while, but like, I guess, you know, Cowboy is going to want to stay into it anyway, so give us about 3 minutes. Is it too loud up there? Is it too loud? Yes, well, bro. There you go. We got this other thing called, I don't know, what I could do, a little loose jam type of thing. It's trying to be good. What the hell?
simple, light, but rather interesting version of Blue Suede Shoes. You hear there. Soundcheck jam. All right. Now, I didn't mention much about Jimmy and the Electric Lady Studios up until this point. It's been going on in the background for quite a while, all this time, though. He had been building Electric Lady Studios with a tremendous budget for quite a while. It was his project, and it was going slow and steady and multi-expensive. And he wanted, obviously, to use it as much as possible, even if it wasn't completely operational, because there was a lot of work going on in this subterranean recording studio that they were building in New York City downtown. So Hendrix figured that even if it wasn't finished, he should still be able to try to use it in some shape or form, because it did have equipment in there. So he, every now and then, he would try to use it to evaluate some of the multi-track tapes that he had accumulated over the past few months that he had recorded at other studios, because he had been working a lot at places like the Record Plant and Hit Factory and places like that. So on June 15th, 1970, he went into Electric Lady Studios, bringing in a couple of his tapes for doctoring and editing and overdubbing. And he took this one track that he had called Easy Rider, and he started to play with it and bring down different tracks. And because it's multi-track, he could do what he wants. And he started to delete things to the point where he ripped everything out except for the drums. He left Buddy Miles' drums on it, and then he overdubbed everything else brand new onto it while he was at Electric Lady. And he ended up with this while he was sitting there at Electric. One of the first things that he came up with at Electric Lady Studios, this version of Easy Rider.
Thank you.
As Heidi just now correctly pointed out while that song was playing, technically that is the Band of Gypsies backing Hendrix on that track, because he left the bass, the drum track from Buddy Miles, and his bass player is Billy Cox. So that there it is. That's the Band of Gypsies right there on that track. All right, so within a week's time, he's beginning to bring the band, which is the half and half band, in to the Electric Lady Studios to basically fool around and do some recording, mostly, well, I'd say for fun, but also to do get some work done, to try to do some songwriting. Like Hendrix would say, man, you know, some people go fish or go bowling, like, you know, that's what other people do. We make music. This is what we do for fun. So that's why they went to the studio, because whether or not it was finished didn't really matter. They just go in and they just basically play all night. So they would sit in and they'd work on a track like this. This song is something that they came up with called Cherokee Mist. Toward a song there, Cherokee Mist. WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City, New York. The show is American Net Radio. Fridays, we call it How Music Changed, and we are nearing the end of our series on Jimi Hendrix. If you've been interested at all in Jimi Hendrix, we've done, this is 25 hours now with this show. It's pretty amazing. Go to our website, AmericanHitNetwork.com, where you can pretty much take in a full day's worth, literally, of Jimi Hendrix's music and the history, story of his, well, an overview of his life and a pretty thorough review of his music. And we are now getting near the end. This is, and you might be able to hear now, like what we're basically have got here, what we're covering today, is Jimmy finding songs that were going to be a lot filled out. I'm sure a lot more filled out and would have been coming part of his next album, the New Rays of the first rays of the New Rising Sun, which of course didn't happen on account of Jimmy's passing. And this next song is also another one that certainly would have been part of, I guess, one of the album's contenders that they were working on, and is a short version of it. This song is called Come Down Hard on Me.
Come on down.
since what we're hearing here are the rough demos for what may have eventually been part of the double album. And it would have been, you know it would have been an amazing album. I mean, this is Jimi Hendrix. You just know that he was going to rally, and he was so on game for everything that he had done. I sometimes, you know, think that people like might think, because they hear this and it sounds as though it's like, you know, it doesn't sound the same as the last album. Well, I mean, it never does until you really get the momentum going and you start to put it together, and then all of a sudden things begin to fall into pieces. I mean, you should have heard what Abbey Road sounded like before they really stitched it together. It was a mess, you know, and the Beatles themselves could have told you that. So I just know that this would have ended up being something massively awesome. But this is it in the rough stages. And this is another track that Jimmy was working on for a long time, going all the way back to the second album. He never was able to get a recorded version of it. I think we played a couple of live versions of this song. Never a studio version, though, so it probably would have ended up on the next album. Here is an attempt at the studio version. The song is called Lover Man. I definitely remember playing versions of that. Now, this next track brings back memories to me of going to the Uniondale Mini Cinema in the late 70s. I remember, but I don't remember well, of course, but I definitely remember going to the Mini Cinema around they always had the midnight shows. And one of the times they were playing a show called Rainbow Bridge, which was a movie of Hendrix performing live in Maui, in Hawaii. And I remember it was a bit of a mess. It was really exciting because it was Hendrix playing live, but it was something that I couldn't understand why there was no people and why it wasn't crowded. And now that I get some of the story, I'm like, oh, that's the reason. Hendrix had gone to Hawaii to have a vacation with the band. But somebody was making a movie and he said it would be a really cool thing if they had put on a concert at the top of a crater of the volcano. And so they agreed to do this. So to get to the location of where the concert was going to be was a 4-mile hike up the volcano. There were no roads. So you had to carry all the equipment and everything up to the top of the volcano. And when you got up there, of course, there was no electricity. So they had to bring generators up and everything. And they were 200 people made it. So Hendrix used to playing before 20,000. So the whole thing was like them performing before about 200 people with generators. And they weren't even well prepared for that. They had to borrow the generators from the film crew. It was that ridiculous. And there's a movie about this. It's called Rainbow Bridge. So anyway, this is a pretty long track. So it's somehow still amazingly beautiful. And this is one of the highlights from that movie, that show, from Maui, Hawaii. The date was July 30th, 1970. The track is Hey Baby, In From the Storm.
We'll be right back. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
Hawaiian insanity there. It makes me want to go back and watch that movie. I haven't seen that. It's been about, it was like 40 years ago, maybe more. Yeah, definitely more now that I think about it. All right, I want to talk about this next track a little bit. So I wanted to try to squeeze two in, but it's going to be too tight. So that's all right. We're talking about Jimmy and trying to get stuff done for the first rays of the New Rising Sun album. And he's working really hard with Billy Cox and Mitch Mitchell to get things done. And in fact, they were working on that specific song that we just heard in From the Storm to make the album, so that it would be used on the album. And as Jimmy is doing overdubs on that song, as he's want to do, he would do this a lot, he would sometimes get distracted and he would suddenly start doing something completely different. And he started playing this slow blues thing that was totally unrelated. And thank God he had a really great, he had a really great session. Eddie Kramer was just brilliant. And Dave Palmer, his engineer, they saw that he was changing. So they were smart enough to quick take the tape off and put something else on so that they could record what he was doing, because they never heard it before. And they thought that just maybe if he's doing something that he might want to hear, they didn't want to blow the track that they were working on, but they wanted to save this track. So they put it up and they quick hit the button to get it going. And in the meantime, Billy Cox and Mitch Mitchell were there. So they join in and they start playing with him. And they managed to get down something like a minute and a half of music. That's all. And as the tape is running, for some reason, it just suddenly, inexplicably cuts out. It just ends. So maybe something went wrong. The tape ran out. They changed it, but something caused it to stop. What's really amazing about all of that, though, is that this song would be the absolute final last multi-track studio session tape that Jimi Hendrix would ever record. Less than a month after this recording was made, he would be found dead in London. And that was that. And he would not have done another live studio recording between his death and this exact moment. So we will be back. This isn't the end of our series, because I do want to cover the Isle of Wight show next week. Maybe one or two more studio recordings that were happening before this with overdubs that we could mention. But this is the final live studio recording. It's called Slow Blues. Take care, folks. We'll see you next week. Thank you.